Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. That content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome, Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenz, Sheila Hyland. We're now on episode 15 and looking forward to whatever the new year brings, because the last one wasn't so great for a lot of reasons for a lot of people. And we have a new word to talk about. And I even hate to bring it up with you two first, but Florona. Have you heard of this?
No.
Have you heard of this?
Florona?
My Florona.
I knew you were going to say that.
It was first thing in my head.
So
Jimmy said it first.
It's this rare thing right now, but people are getting so freaked out. I know we're all just so COVID fatigued of talking about it, dealing with it, the Omicron, Delta, whatever the next letter is going to be from the Greek alphabet. But yes. Florona
is,
and I didn't make this up, it's when you have the regular flu.
Okay,
and then one of the variants.
Really, at the time, this Florona
together.
I thought that was something with your teeth, fluoride.
Had Corona a while ago.
Yes, I did. March.
And you had it,
and it got bad. 24
days.
24
days of a steady 100.
All seriousness, Jim. Mm-hmm. What did you feel like? And you felt like you were so close to maybe having to go to the hospital.
I was. What happens is there was about 3 or 4 of the days in the middle. At the beginning, it wasn't too bad. You're like, oh, I think it's okay. I remember talking to Larry through this thing. And it wasn't too bad, as you know. And then all of a sudden, around day 8 or 9, for about 3 days, I went to get up, and I felt like you're underwater, and you just kind of come just to breathe a little bit. And you fall back under the water, and you can't breathe again. So I started feeling that. And when I walked, I couldn't walk 2 feet without feeling not being able to breathe. But when I sat down, I was able to breathe fine. So I thought, all right, as long as I can sit and breathe, I'm obviously at a normal rate, that is. It wasn't labored sitting. So I thought, if it's labored sitting, that'd be different. But it wasn't. So I remember a gentleman who was in the Army and you know, a Navy SEAL and all that, in his 80s. And he had it a year when it first came out. He got it in Florida. But he told me all these things about it. He said, what to do? He says, you don't want to go on a ventilator. That's the last thing you want to do because it's hard to get off. He said, don't go on it. He said, and the thing you have to do is when you have that feeling you can't breathe, he said, I forced myself to walk. He said, because it's attacking your lungs. It's going to just, you want to expand your lungs the next day. So I did force myself to walk more than I'd get up and I'd walk like 10 feet and 10 feet back like every hour or so just to force myself, my lungs. So you're fighting, your lungs are fighting, it's fighting your lungs. And the other thing a lot of people don't know is, and believe me, I'm a comedian, I'm not a doctor, but prednisone. It's a prednisone pack they give you. It's an anti-inflammatory.
It's a steroid.
Mm-hmm. It's a steroid. And you just take it for 1 week. You know, so there's no real side effects. It's 1 week usually. You check your doctor, obviously, and see if you can. But it was it made me about 70% better because the anti-inflammatory goes to the lungs of the prednisone. All through your body, it hits the lungs. So the key is your lungs are inflamed. It's mainly attacking, as far as I know, for me anyway. And then after the 3 or 4 days, I started to get my strength back as far as breathing. So now I can walk normal. And that meant I felt I was coming on the other side. Now I still had a fever every single day of 101 to 102.
Damn. That many days?
24/7, 24 Gosh. Days. It didn't break for 24 days. So you are in a weird state where you can't really do anything. You can barely, you know, you got to force yourself kind of to eat and things like that.
And no one can come in and take care of you.
That's the problem. Anyone just drop some food off in front.
I know. I kept texting Jim, and And my wife says, we got to do something. And I said, well, what do you want to do? She says, well, drop food off or supplies. What does he need?
These guys are the greatest. You know what? I tell you, anyone out there who gets it, the thing that will get you through it is people, your friends, like Larry, people, really, family people. There was a friend of mine who dropped a, said, you need vitamin C, you know, and whatever. And she drove down from Cranberry and left a bottle in front of me. Like little things like that. That's what gets you through.
Geez, at the time love I lived three blocks people from you, I didn't bring you anything.
That's yeah, okay.
Thanks a lot, Sheila.
You're in spirit, you did. Well, in spirit.
Have you had a bout with this yet? Or
no,
is this no HIPAA law?
No, not
law
yet.
I
at least
can't
not
ask
that
you
I know of. I could be asymptomatic. Who knows?
That's true.
But imagine having that and the flu on top of that.
Flu-rona. You don't want that.
I don't know how you would
survive.
I guess you have to go to the hospital, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah. And they're kind of busy right now. So let's... We'll table all the Corona talk or Florona talk for another day because that's all people are hearing about right now. We want to shift gears. Somebody, the coolest dude we've met maybe in the whole
ever
year, the past 2021, was Boaz Frankel. He's with us in a stunning shirt. What is that? I'm colorblind, but I can see it.
Well, thank you. It's sort of like a hyper-color lumberjack plaid shirt.
I like it.
Some people are calling it a shacket because it's
a shacket.
Somewhere between a shirt and a jacket. They're sort of in right now.
And being from Oregon, of course, it's
yes
fitting that you're
yeah
wearing the lumberjack shirt.
And for those that don't know, you can get stuff by Boaz, BOAZ.com. You're considered to be, they call you an American... I mean, you're a treasure here in Pittsburgh, but
I don't know about that, but that's very kind of you.
Give us the short version of how you ended up in Pittsburgh, because you chose us.
Yeah, out of the world. Yeah, my wife and I had been living in a few places, and most recently we were living in the Netherlands and Amsterdam, and we had to come back to America for work, but we were sort of flexible with where we could go, and we heard great things about Pittsburgh, and just we sort of kept hearing great things. So at some point we're like, well, let's just go check it out. And we did, and everybody was so nice. And then now we've been here almost 3 years.
I could imagine you seeing that someone lived in the Netherlands here in Pittsburgh in some bar, walk out and go, where's that at? Nah, it's at D-Boys. It's out by D-Boys.
Have you picked up the dialogue yet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. There's a lot of... And I even start, like, talking, you know, and
you do some it?
Well, like, what's the thing? Like, you know, the rug needs cleaned or something. You know,
okay,
where
yeah
you start dropping the to be.
Yeah,
and
we
I do
don't
that
even notice
nice yeah
among ourselves, the no natives, that we know that is normal. So
right.
It doesn't even resonate that it's not.
But right. It does hit you, though. I remember after I lived in Pittsburgh for a few years, mm-hmm, I called up my mom. We were having a conversation. And toward the end of the conversation, I said, okay, Mom, I've got to go. I've got to go do some ironing. She said, you have to
oh,
do
that's
what?
That's
like, I mean, ironing,
Sheila,
ironing, ironing.
Funny.
I have to go do some ironing.
That kills me because you have like the most incredible, like, you know, your diction is amazing. You know, it's like very, because you're a journalist. And that's hysterical. So every once in a while, you'll say, come on down, John Eagle.
We've infected her with the ends of ours.
I'm telling you.
Look at the Kellers and Boaz's shirt.
Well, we do something funny with the L's and all that. And I know there's been linguistic studies about how this happened, the Scotch, Irish, and European connection. And
too much Scotch.
We apparently too
you
much
can never
Scotch
have
for some
Scotch. Yeah.
But how would you describe what you do? I know... You're the curator of the Kazoo Museum down there in South Carolina, and you worked with us with that. That was also on our Best Of, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for the year.
What an honor. Thank
but
you.
But how would you describe, someone says, Boaz, what do you do?
Well, I would say I'm a writer, video maker, and gardener. I guess those are the top three things right now.
And do you make a living doing this?
Yeah. I mean, so sometimes I'm writing for ad agencies, and that's where I really make the living is when I do stuff for that. Right. And then I make, you know, videos for people, and sometimes those are more for fun, and sometimes those are more to pay the bills.
Well, I got something cool to tell you. I just spent an evening, the Pittsburgh Speaker Series, presented by the University of Pittsburgh, and it's Walter Isaacson, not necessarily a household name, but he at one time was the head of CNN. He was the editor of Time. He's written books about genius. Leonardo da Vinci, Albert Einstein, mm-hmm, Stephen Jobs,
oh, right,
Benjamin Franklin. He's working on one with Elon Musk right now. And I asked him, what's the common thread with all of those people? And he said, curiosity. And I notice you describe yourself as being a curious person. He goes, that's the only way you learn. He said, it's kind of beaten out of you as you get older from child. A child naturally is curious about everything. Right. What's this do? What's that do? What's the? He goes, we lose that. Mm-hmm. But all of these people maintain that curiosity, and you seem to still have it, and you're exploring and curious about our city and our people.
Yeah, it definitely is a motivating thing, because especially in Pittsburgh, there's so many things to be curious about. Like, I've never walked around a city and seen so many, like, weird, like, relics left over from, you know, a mansion that used to be there, you know, 100 years ago, and the only thing left is, like, you know, this weird little structure, and, like, why is that there? I mean, you'll walk through neighborhoods that at some point, you know, they're probably doing some urban renewal, and they're like, you know what, let's just shut down this street and let this neighborhood sit back there. I'm like, what? There's like a whole neighborhood you just like closed off, and you're like, nah, this is closed for business now. I'm like, what other city does that? So because of all the weird urban planning and all the early success in Pittsburgh, I feel like there's so many weird little mysteries to look into.
There are, and we have a gem of a person, Rick Seaback, in Pittsburgh, who's really helps us, I think, uncover some of those things. That's what we, so you're right. We are the most interesting city as far as we're quirky. We have our own little world. So it's kind of cool. It's
and
good, great observation.
Rick Seaback as well, too.
Yeah, I was. Well, it's funny. When we first came to Pittsburgh, like a year before we moved, we were like, well, let's just go for a weekend. Let's just like scope it out, see what it's about. And I sort of looked into people in media, and Larry said he was too busy to meet me that time. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't reach out to you. But
I'd have been available, Boaz. Yeah. I'm still here.
But I did happen to email Rick Seaback, and he was like, oh, sure, I'll take you to lunch. So even before I came to Pittsburgh, he, you know, took me to lunch and told me, you know, he's like, okay, here's the town, let me ride you around.
He's a marvelous human being.
He's the best.
Because he's curious, and he's a great storyteller.
He's a genius. That's where he is, right?
He is.
The way he sees things.
Yes. He sees what everybody else might walk by or see as obvious, and he goes, wait a minute. And then he's able to tell a whole story or create a documentary about it.
Going to lunch with him is the greatest experience ever, because you'll say, where do you want to go, Rick? Well, there's this little place in Vandegrift called Julie's Place. They make the muffins handmade. What?
That's pretty good, yeah.
But you know, and Boaz, you're very similar. And if you watch his videos on Next Pittsburgh, they're incredible. You find things that other people would just look past.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
You were in what was the shop? Bohème?
Oh yeah. Bohème Pittsburgh in Lawrenceville.
Found some egg pants.
Yeah, which is just like a ton of different artists are selling their wares. They're like, you know, pants that people have like painted eggs on. There's all sorts of cool fabric, wall art. There's earrings, there's jewelry, there's dog clothes.
Is that where
everything.
You got the shacket?
Oh, no, I wish. But I bet they have similar shacks.
That looks
over there.
Expensive, though.
It's
it does.
Well, yeah. I mean, it wasn't cheap,
I
guess.
If you're a lumberjack, you're the manager.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're at 23rd and Vine. That's on East Carson Street near the Birmingham Bridge in Pittsburgh South Side. And I've always told people, Jimmy's a resident here. Mm-hmm. He grew up in the Strip District. He moved across a river, which is impressive.
That's amazing. Big jump.
I always thought East Carson Street maintained some of the eclectic feel of originality. Instead of all the cookie-cutter businesses, it still has that feel. And I know it has a nightlife that's made some news. But overall, it's Pittsburgh's Bourbon Street, don't you think?
It's great, yeah.
That's good analysis.
I got to the area a little early, and I was like, oh, I need to get a coffee. And I looked on my phone on Google, and I was like, oh, there's like 10 different little coffee shops I could go to, which is great. I went
there's
to
some
Churn,
not tucked in
Seattle.
The neighborhood.
Yeah. I've got a Cupca Joe's.
What's
Big
that
Dog.
One you took me to? And
That was Cupca Joe's in the corner where we sat outside.
It's
a met the
couple
gentleman.
Streets off the main drag.
Mm-hmm. Cupca Joe's.
Is that on Sarah Street?
I think
Street?
Sarah or Jane. I think Sarah. Jane. I can remember Jane. Maybe one of, it's a couple streets past Carson. I live in South. I don't know. I never know which one's first, Sarah or Jean, but it's Cupca Joe's, Big Dog Cafe is cool. There's a lot of great coffee shops. You know,
and I don't know if you guys are aware that Pittsburgh may be adding another neighborhood.
What?
Wilkinsburg.
Oh,
we make borough it. Of Wilkinsburg. It's now on Pittsburgh City Council's plate for the first 3 months of 2022 to determine whether we want to annex and absorb Wilkinsburg, which would expand the size of the city mm-hmm. and give them an opportunity to maybe grow unlike they have in decades,
are
generations.
They, are they thinking of doing it?
Yeah.
No, I knew they were thinking of annexing the school district.
The whole thing. It would still be Wilkinsburg,
right.
but it would be like a neighborhood in the city, yes. like Lawrenceville.
Yeah. We did a segment for Next Pittsburgh with Marita Garrett, who's the former mayor. She just ended her term, but it was wild. It is so tough because the taxes there are so much higher because they have to, you know, whereas we're sharing all these resources in this huge city, they have to create all these things. And so they were talking about there were like two Rite Aids. There's like one Rite Aid on one side of the border and one on the other side. And the Rite Aid in Pittsburgh pays like 10 times, like the Rite Aid in Wilkinsburg pays 10 times more taxes.
Right.
And they're like 2 miles apart.
And the millage, you're right. So it's very practical for the residents from a financial standpoint. Right. But because of that, people aren't building. Businesses aren't investing in Wilkinsburg like they would otherwise because the taxes are too high.
I wonder if this trend with other boroughs. I remember I was friends with the great guy, former mayor Bill Peduto. Whatever your political views, he's a great, great guy. You know, good buddies. That we were was down in his office. They had a map, and I was looking. I may not be giving the right number, but I know it was over 100. So there's like Wilkinsburg. There's like 135 boroughs or something around the city
in Allegheny County,
tri-state, like. But now that's 135 mayors or whatever these
borough managers.
So I said, well, why won't they? So they've tried before. I think Mayor Sophie Maslow. If we absorbed all those, you know, we'd be a 2.1 million.
Yeah, can
people
you imagine
city.
How big?
We'd be
city
in the top 10 again.
We yes. would.
It's the borough. So we have the people.
Like overnight.
But the individual boroughs don't mm-hmm. want to give up
their autonomy.
Yes.
Well, like, you can understand, right? Because you give up your mayor.
We should get Mayor Peduto. But
we're, I wonder, though, if our taxes might go down as a result of that.
I think so. Because we'd be bigger. We would get bigger funding.
We're not duplicating services.
We'd be getting bigger funding from the federal standpoint.
Well, this
it
is
would
the
change.
Time to get involved. It's Let's talk to Mayor Ganey right now. We could get in on the ground floor and be part of the neighborhood commission.
They've been trying for 50 years.
Yeah, can't you see us
as
politicians?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
All right, we're
going to
solve all the problems. And we want to discover what Boaz and his wife have discovered by being in Pittsburgh. We're going to do that. This is Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland. It's Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland. We're at 23rd and Vine on East Carson Street, Pittsburgh South Side near the Birmingham Bridge, a great place, wine bar. Want to thank Bob Bazzelli and Lou Caputo who allow us to be here. Of course, they allow us to be here when there aren't any customers so that we won't disturb the peace. But we're also going to do it from the Van Gogh exhibit on Pittsburgh's north side next week. So I'm looking forward to that.
We're going to
culturalize ourselves.
I can't wait also because, you know, we're all in a sense, I guess our jobs are sort of artistic, I would say. We're considered sort of arts. And when you look at someone like Van Gogh, most of his works, or a lot of his works, were done from psychiatric place. It's insane to suddenly call it back then.
Because he had mental illness.
He did in a way, but I guess.
Or did he?
Maybe he didn't. Now he would, maybe. Maybe he would just take some medicine. But I don't know. But he was just so out there. Talk about curiosity. Just so out there, I guess, for people that they didn't understand where he was. But his work, his greatest paint were from those facilities and things. So a lot of artists are like that too, huh?
You're right.
Mm-hmm. We're all over the place.
And you know what it's like. You have a left brain, right brain. Yeah. The artsy part of people doesn't always line up with people that are really smart in business.
Right.
And again, these geniuses that I talked with Walter Isaacson, the great historian, about, the other commonality among those geniuses was they had an appreciation for the science part, but they also had a curiosity and appreciation of the arts. And it was Steve Jobs of Apple that had a picture that Walter asked him about of Leonardo da Vinci's man, you know, with the arms out and the legs mm-hmm. out, mm-hmm. but the, you know, the geometric designs that are all part of that. Stephen Jobs said, Da Vinci captured it right there. That's it. They even put it on the spacecraft going into space as if some, you know, extraterrestrial was going to be able to read that. That would be like, oh, that's that's people, that's the science. So he said, Stephen Jobs said, that was the perfect expression of science and art together, and you have to have both to thrive.
You do, in business also,
yeah,
in everything.
It was
right?
deep. But he also said a lot of these guys were so smart that they spent all their waking hours in one realm, and then they were oblivious to all this other stuff that would be obvious to everybody else.
You know, that's the thing. That if you look at their social lives, most of these people, there you go, Van Gogh or whatever. One of the commonalities I've read, too, is they ruminate. A lot of room, like you said, in your own world, ruminating, mm-hmm. thinking.
He talked about Leonardo da Vinci reading his own writing in the margins of paper in his notes. Mm-hmm. And one of the things near the end of his life that he was curious about why the sky is so deep blue some days and what changes and how that changes. But the other was, how fast or how big is a woodpecker's tongue?
I think that every day.
That was
day goes by.
I'm sorry, that was Jimmy that came up.
I think more about the beak, but you know, whatever.
One other note, because I was really fascinated with this guy. Albert Einstein came to Pittsburgh 87 years ago. He chose Pittsburgh. It was the first city in America that he ever gave a speech at Carnegie Tech then, now Carnegie Mellon. And it is the only known photograph of Albert Einstein
in Pittsburgh
with the actual E equals MC squared equation written on a blackboard.
In his speech.
That's the only place he was ever photographed was here in Pittsburgh with E equals MC squared.
In his speech, he said, I will have bagel shops everywhere.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
I think Boaz is like our Albert Einstein, our Van Gogh, our Da Vinci.
All
right, what have you discovered? We promised you'd tell us what you've discovered about Pittsburgh.
I'll tell you, I have a question for all of you. Mm-hmm. Do any of you have sports flags outside your house?
No.
No.
I do not. If I did, it would be a Nebraska flag.
Well, because it's... I have never seen so many sports flags in a city in my life. I was like, well, one of you is bound to. 90% of the population
mostly
does.
Steelers.
Steelers are religion.
And Penguins. Yeah.
And Penguins.
Yeah.
And there's, in my neighborhood, there's a couple hardcore Pirates houses.
The Pirates, yeah.
Well,
Pirates,
you know, long time, when the Pirates were in that short playoff run for three seasons in a row, now almost a decade ago, it seemed like people really, if you questioned if this was a town that would support baseball, in that moment, remember those blackouts they had at PNC Park?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was amazing. People came out of the woodwork. So, yeah, they have a core base. Sad we're not winning, and we've been so terrible for so long.
The world, and I have to remember back, this is really one of the great baseball towns when we're winning in the 90s. You remember, this city was going crazy.
Oh.
I mean, this city was going crazy. And you remember now, like, with football and even hockey, but baseball is... probably rate equal to that intensity.
Yeah. When I moved to Pittsburgh in 88, well, I came here for the job interview, first of all, went to WTAE, and they asked me to watch the 6 o'clock news, which back then was anchored by Sally Wiggin and Don Cannon. And afterward, they said, we want you to critique the newscast. And so I did. They led with a Pirate story. And I said, I don't understand why, and I don't agree with you leading with a sports story.
Right.
I'm surprised they hired me. And in fact, that night, Joe Rivito, who then became my news director, actually took me to my first Pirates baseball game so I could see it in action.
Wow.
But I did not understand the culture of Pittsburgh then and the diehard sports fans that they are. And then I became one myself.
Well, that's true. And did you see Ben Roethlisberger's last game at Heinz Field?
Oh, that was
phenomenal.
The fans
turned out, and I'm telling you, it was in the 20s. It was really cold and uncomfortable, but that they stayed, and he was on the field 20 minutes after the game ended, which is unheard of. It never happens like that. And people were in their Steeler jerseys in a hoodie.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how did they even survive? That's how dedicated.
They're all sick now.
Yes. They all have Florona.
My Florona.
Yeah. All right. So what else? So, yeah, we're sports nuts as a general rule here, especially the Steelers in season. That makes news and crosses over all the time.
Well, yeah, that's something that I've certainly been paying attention to. But we saw Oklahoma last night at the Benedum. It was exciting to see a show. It was nuts. I'll tell you, this production of Oklahoma, I don't know if you've seen Oklahoma before.
Like three times.
Okay.
Yes. I grew it's one up, of my favorite
I was like
musicals.
A theater
oh, yeah.
kid. I was like in Oklahoma when I was like at summer
Sheila
camp.
Sheila tapped in one.
Whoa.
Really? No, I didn't really. No. In my dreams.
And usually it's like big and joyous right. and there's tons of people on stage. And this is like this crazy stripped down production. There's like a super minimal set and it makes you lose all faith in humanity at the end of the show.
What?
It's like super
wow.
dark.
It's pretty dark.
It Killer is in. Because Killer really in it, they sort of gloss over all these sort of like themes of like just sort of assault and, you know, this sort of feeling of, like, ownership over women and just, like, super misogynistic. And here they really sort of look at it face on. And when you don't sort of treat it as a joke, it suddenly becomes this really dark sort of, like, portrayal of, like, America. And it's, like, and just sort of these gross, like, cultural
well, that
sort
era.
Of, like, beliefs. Which
and you enjoyed this.
Well, it sort of made me think a lot. I feel okay. like it wasn't like I was singing along, oh, the farmer and the cowboy should be friends, you know, but it really made me think afterwards. So, like, not all of it was pleasant to watch, mm-hmm. but it was just like an experience that I haven't had recently in the theater where you come up and really just, like, analyze, like, the show and analyze society. Did you watch the Bo Burnham Inside special on Netflix? He's this comedian, and it was this weird special musical comedy special he did while essentially like locked inside his house during pandemic. And so a lot of it, they're like weird projections happening, and it's all filmed in this one tiny room in his house. Mm-hmm. And it felt, my wife was like, oh, it's really similar to that, because it's really, it just felt very raw and intimate. Stripped down. Yeah. And yeah, and intimate, absolutely. So it was funny because all the older women around me, which I feel like was a big portion of that audience who goes to see these touring Broadway productions, mm-hmm. they're like, well, that was different. You know, they were being more generous, but I think a lot of them.
It makes you think, you're right. It just made me think, like, so many people you run into, I'll think, oh, wish it was like the old days. It's not like the old days when this was fresh and this was there. It's like, yeah, but in the old days, you died at 40. You know, wasn't that great? You know, it's
no, it wasn't.
Much you were old at 40. You got the flu, bum, you're done. You know,
yeah, the Spanish flu, you
boom,
know.
Gone.
That came after World War I. I mean, like 50 million people died worldwide.
Yeah, I mean, just in general, yeah.
It wasn't always the good old days.
We don't really want to go backward, do we?
No, we don't want to. No.
All right.
We'll take now.
What else? Pittsburgh, something Boaz Frankel you've seen and you go, wow.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been on a hunt for the best chocolate chip cookie in Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
This is something I do. My wife is an author. She goes on book tours, and so... Well, she used to go on book tours. I don't know. That was a thing. Before I used to do them on Zoom, you know, authors would get on planes and go to different cities and see humans in person. I don't know if you
really?
Remember all this. Yeah. Hard to believe.
What was
I know.
That like?
Have you found the best chocolate chip cookie?
Well, so while she was on tour, while she was doing the book events and tours, I'd try to go find the best chocolate chip cookie in every city. So in Pittsburgh, I've continued that quest. And I think I found... some of the best ones in town.
Oh, we gotta know. Is it Insomnia Cookies?
You know what?
Insomnia
is so good.
They're good.
And you can get them at 2 a.m.
does do a decent cookie. I don't want to. They do a nice job.
Is it
job.
One of our bakeries? We have some great bakeries.
Yep.
Like Oklahoma Bakery.
I think my two favorite are Madeline's, which is in Regent Square, Wilkinsburg area. Have you been there before?
Is it a bakery?
Super cute.
Or
it's a bakery.
Soon to be Pittsburgh. Go ahead.
Yes, soon to be Pittsburgh. Their chocolate chip cookie is phenomenal.
Huh.
They do a lot of pastries over there too, croissants and all this other stuff, but really solid chocolate chip cookie. And the other one is Five Points, which is in North Squirrel Hill, right on the edge with Point Breeze, which is, and here's the thing. If you go in the morning and get it first thing in the morning, somehow it's not as good. I think they might be selling yesterday's cookies if you go in the morning.
What constitutes a great cookie to you? Is it gooey?
Well, here's what I think. I think crispy on the outside, really crispy on the outside. But then you have a little textural differences as you get in there, a little chewy. I think it's really interesting to have even chip distribution throughout the cookie. You don't want to get through a quarter of that cookie and not encounter a chip.
I agree.
Yes.
I've never thought of it this deep.
Distribution.
I don't know. Now I want to go eat a chocolate chip cookie.
There's really interesting things you can be doing if they're tiny chips really throughout the cookie. You're almost getting the speckled effect.
They need to be chunky.
That's something.
Chunky
but then
chips.
Also chunks. But so there's really a lot you can do with when you're encountering those chips. And then I think a lot of it is, are you refrigerating that dough for a day beforehand, because then you get this whole other flavor, almost a caramelizing, with that sugar just sitting in the dough and soaking in the chocolate flavors. Yeah.
Look at you.
And this is why Boaz and I went out for drinks with his wife, because he just fascinates me.
Yeah, and you can go to StuffByBoaz, BOAZ.com.
Get in touch with your chocolate chip recommendations, please.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you came back. Most people we invite don't come back.
Well, thank you for having me. It's
but
an honor.
Our next guest is going to come back too. Major, major concert announcement, at least for me. He's looking at me like, what are you talking about? Scott Mervis from the Post-Gazette. We're going to talk to him in just a minute. Boaz Frankel, thank you. And I love your shacket.
Thanks so much. Next time I'll bring shackets for everyone.
Shackets for everyone.
Thanks, Boaz.
Thanks, man.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland. Stand by. Scott Mervis going to tell us about all these great shows coming to the Berg. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 15. And a visit by the Post-Gazette's great music writer, critic. Really, Scott Mervis,
whatever you want to call
is
me,
here.
Larry.
And before we get into it, because I'm going to get into it with you, I want to thank Boaz Frankel again, and his book is
"Let's Be Weird Together," or "Let's Get Weird Together," or something like along those lines.
What's the you spent time with Boaz and his wife?
I did. Yeah, I mean they're not they don't come across that weird together. But the idea of the the idea of the book is though that the longer your relationship goes on, the weirder you get. So it's a kind of comical version. I think there's some comic
relationships
in there. Yeah.
You say like the animal
which is so true, though.
Weird would be on the good end.
I was telling Larry, I said, can you imagine if you were somebody looking from the outside into someone's relationship? You'd be like, what the heck are they doing? What
What's
are they talking about?
People?
What is wrong with those people?
Yeah, true. All right. Scott Mervis,
yes,
big
Larry.
Concert announcement.
Yeah.
One of my all-time favorites I've never gotten to see. The Eagles. Hotel yes. California tour.
Yeah. You haven't seen the Eagles?
You know
like, where
what?
Where you been?
Glenn Frey was alive.
Yeah, I saw the Hell Freezes Over tour, yeah.
Yeah, I was scheduled to go, and I got called out of town, and I didn't get to see the Eagles. That's one group I always wanted to see.
Mm. Interesting. And they're still good.
The most interesting thing when the Star Lake show, my buddy did the limos and stuff for them. So each guy had his own like limo or car or whatever. Like they don't talk to each other until they get on stage. They actually have curtains. He's sitting in the back. Like could you imagine?
Were they lined up in the Star Lake traffic?
Yeah, well,
together?
That's because they're with each other all the time on stage. They're tired of each other.
Could you imagine? Like you know,
it's that weird thing.
If us three had our own, you know, anyone a curtain?
Well, we should.
When you've been a band together that long, like,
it's like been there, done that.
Some differences come up.
There must
some
get out of my face.
Didn't they have a big falling out for a long time before they went back to tour together?
Yeah, they said that they wouldn't get together.
Hell freezes over,
and then you know whatever was dangled in front of them, they did it.
Money melted it. Yeah,
I mean I don't know how grown people can't get along with each other. It's funny though, because you know what, this morning I posted my 25 concerts to look forward to in the first couple months. So you know, it's one of these clickbait devices. You have to have 25 or 10,
right.
Or
and
whatever.
It says next at the bottom of the screen with 400 ads. We
I didn't do that. No, it's not one of those things where you have to go to every screen.
Right.
So I post this, and then like literally like 15 minutes later after I tweet it out or whatever, I get the Eagles announcement. Which is in March. It's
March
2 months
26,
away. Unless
PPG
I didn't look
paints.
At it, and it's 2023.
No,
I don't think so. It's in March, 2 months.
It's March.
Yeah.
Which is a very
that was
small
my
lead
understanding.
Time for one of these arena shows.
Tickets on sale.
It's like,
sale.
Bam, the concert's tomorrow.
January 14th.
Yeah.
But
so
I want
to anyway,
see
I'm like, I have to add this to my 25 list, right? And so now if you look at the 20, I hope people don't count because now it's 26. But it still says 25.
I never got to see them with Glenn Frey though.
Are they the Eagles?
They were good with Glenn Frey, but
great.
You know he wasn't really like the focal point.
No, that's true.
Of the band,
you know whose
because
voice
the focal,
I love,
Henley.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
I think he's one of the greatest writers.
Songwriters,
Henley.
Yeah,
End of the Innocence, amazing.
It's really good. Yeah. So, I mean, Henley is more the focal point, but every Eagles show, Joe Walsh steals the show.
Yeah.
So they kind of like, they have him like lying in wait for a while and they don't really get a record. Because he's got like five or six songs in the set. But then when they get toward the end of the set, they start going heavy on the Walsh stuff and he just like knocks it out of the park like every single time.
He's
it's like,
the rock,
now
rock.
We've got a rock and roll show.
Yeah, you know he's the rock driven like, part of it. Yeah, exactly.
So now absolutely, this is this the top 25 in order of ranking or just 25 shows?
It's just 25 shows that are coming.
All right, well, give us some of your top picks. Like,
well, you know, there's an unusual amount of arena shows for this year because, you know, you've been around here long enough. There's usually like in January, February, there's maybe three or four.
Right.
And now it's more like 9 or 10 because of all the rescheduling and everything else.
I want to see Journey.
We talked about that on the last one. I think you should do that.
What Journey are we going to see? Who's the guy singing? We know Steve Perry.
It's that Arnell, whatever his name is. He was on the New Year's Eve show in Times Square. Yeah. Which I have.
What did you think about that performance, by the way? Did you see it?
I thought it was like, I was thinking like, people are wondering, like, why is this Journey singer so young? You know? Although the guy is, like, actually 54.
He is? Oh, I would have thought he was 20 years younger than that.
He looks like he's 34.
Discovered on YouTube who was homeless and living in the Philippines at one point.
Was he homeless?
Yes.
Homeless?
Really. Oh, yeah. When they performed there, he took them to where he used to sleep on a park bench.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty emotionally powerful.
It's a miracle.
But he's really an imitator of Steve Perry. I mean, he's
Well,
that's kind of what people would want.
Yeah, you don't want someone that's going to sing it.
Same with Queen.
Like,
so
you don't want a guy that sounds like Johnny Cash singing "Don't Stop Believin'," right?
Don't stop believing.
The short version of this story.
You sing the way you talk, by the way,
Larry.
My
buddy Mark Eddy was in this comedy festival.
Problem.
I was in this comedy festival.
His Jimmy Roach singing "Journey" over there.
So this comedy festival in Cabo, and then 2 years later, they had a Lifetime Achievement Award, and the guy was a DJ, and he was an a-hole or whatever. And the company that did the contest, so somebody said, you know, Jimmy Crenn was a DJ, and so they looked up my resume. So let's give the award to him because the other guy's driving us nuts. So I get to fly to Cabo for this award, okay? But anyway, they had all these bands and stuff, and they had the guy who was, after Steve Augeri? Was his name, I think? Is that right, Jimmy? Steve Augeri. And anyway, but after the shows, there was this bar we'd all hang out with. Like Mickey Dolenz and the Monkees, all these eclectic, interesting people. So I'm sitting, and Steve Augeri and I became friends for some reason. But I asked him, I said, how did you? He was a mechanic. He was a mechanic, he said. And he was doing a tribute band. They had an audition. He said, Jimmy, he says, I was a mechanic, man. Next thing you know, he said, 1 month later, I'm in arenas. I go, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, Boston
insane.
Got a guy from Home Depot.
That's every man's fantasy.
The band Boston, the singer's from Home Depot.
No
he was working
way.
At Home
really?
Depot. And
really?
He made a video. And then the next thing you knew, he was in Boston sounding just like Brad Delp.
I mean, hey,
because,
it works, right?
Yeah, and you know, sometimes you see the singers from these bands and they don't switch out the singer.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not good anymore because the guy can't sing anymore.
Well, also, it's an interesting thing.
A lot of those bands from the 80s and 70s,
that's a good point.
They blew out their voices.
Getting the exact voice, though. Like, they went Steve Perry. Like, there's no new...
Right.
I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, like Yes has a...
Well, just a small town girl.
I mentioned it earlier, but Queen with Adam Lambert.
Yeah.
Ed Lambert,
I think that's a good point.
Phenomenal.
That's a rare case of like an actual big name.
It fit.
Yeah.
Fit, and
it's his, he's
his
not trying to imitate necessarily. He just
he's not.
Is
but
a
Freddie Mercury
singer.
Was one of a kind, so it's hard to.
Yeah, really.
But still, well, what about all these tribute bands?
I think
bands?
For every singer, there's a lot of people that can sound exactly like them, obviously.
Bon Journey.
You know,
have you ever heard
it.
Of them?
Bon Journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they any good?
I you know what, I've never gone to see them. I'm sorry.
What?
I've never gone to see Bon Journey. I'm
Scott.
No,
you're just
I don't
out.
Run around seeing the various tribute right. bands. So
we want
so,
to find
you know,
out
they,
some more
if
shows.
If I happened to walk by them in the park while they were playing, I would hang out and listen for a little bit. You want more shows?
Yeah, I was overall
you're
though
a big Billie Eilish fan.
Oh, is she
Billy
coming?
Or a Billy
is,
Idol fan. Billy They're Idol. Both coming to the arena.
Billy Idol opens for
who would you rather see?
Journey.
I thought you were going to say Billie Eilish.
No, Billie Eilish together. Is going to be taking over Coachella because they had some bands drop out.
Yeah.
And
this
I
is her first time here.
Her and her brother. Did I understand
she's
this
She's old
right?
now, though. She's 20.
She was...
Oh, well,
Jimmy,
she's over the hill.
Listen to this. They, Billie Eilish wrote her initial album in her room with her brother on a computer and recorded
Phineas.
It there.
Mm-hmm.
And she became a superstar.
Through that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It happens these days.
Yeah. It's amazing.
She probably hasn't performed that much, has she? I mean, she's still relatively young.
A bunch of tours.
I saw her on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. You did?
And she was entertaining as hell, and she was cool with the skits. I mean, she's got that it.
Some people are just natural.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, she's got it.
It's like breathing rhythm.
Yeah, she sort of came around as we never got to see Lord here. Lord with an E.
Mm-hmm.
And she was kind of like the thing before Billie Eilish.
Yeah. And what happened to her? You don't hear about her anymore.
She's around, but like Billie Eilish almost kind of replaced her.
Knocked her out.
Okay. Yeah, there's always someone up and coming to push somebody else out of the way.
They knock each other out. So
Who else?
Well, I could hit you with Imagine Dragons, Ghost,
Radioactive.
The Satanic Rock. Do you know who Ghost is?
No.
The Satanic Rock band that sounds like Blue Oyster Cult.
No.
And it's a really good Swedish band.
I know the
band.
Ghost Riders with Thomas Tall, like the billionaire.
What's that?
Ghost Riders.
Ghost Hounds. Yeah. You probably saw them open for the Stones if you were there.
Thomas Tall actually playing.
Yeah, they did pretty well.
Are they actually
they did pretty well.
Is there a whole division of like Satanic Rock?
Well, it's a little bit of a shtick like Ozzy has, but like they're just a really solid rock band that sounds kind of like Blue Oyster Cult. And do you remember Gary Newman?
Yes.
Yeah.
From back in the New Wave era.
Yeah.
He's still really good. He's still
performing?
Really, he is going to be at the Thunderbird Cafe, an intimate show with Gary Newman.
Pretty cool. Intimate show.
Yeah. Which is kind of interesting because when you think of Gary Newman, you think there's sort of big synth rock thing. And then you put it in a little club.
And then our friend field. Rich Engler says, plenty of good seats still available. No additional shows will be added.
No additional
All right,
Eagle
who else?
Shows
pick a couple more.
Did you ever think, like if you go back in the day and you think about Alice Cooper, right? I don't know how long you guys have been following Alice Cooper. Did you ever think you would play Heinz Hall?
No.
Cooper and Heinz Hall.
He was the original Satanic Rock.
No.
Yeah, right.
Where's he going to get the bats or whatever?
Yeah.
What was his thing? Snakes.
Ozzy was bad.
Wait, Ozzy was the bats.
He's golfing snakes.
Ozzy did the chicken. It was the chicken with Ozzy.
No, I thought it was Alice.
Somebody threw a bat up.
It was Ozzy, right? And it was Alice. Yeah. I don't know.
Alice had an incident with a chicken.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. where somebody threw a chicken on the stage.
Okay.
And then whatever happened with Alice threw the chicken back out to the crowd and they like devoured the chicken or something.
Oh.
And it became like, you know, the original
bad concert for the
poultry
chicken.
Destroying.
Yes, a bad concert for the chicken.
And
chickens
and up there going, this is a great
rock.
Show. What the hell? Boom.
Blood everywhere. Yeah.
If you met Alice Cooper today, Bob Bozzelli was with him. He performed in Nashville with Smokey Robinson in the audience. And he said, you know, he's entertaining, but they talked after. And Alice Cooper's like, any guy you would meet who loves to play golf.
Yeah.
He's a golf nut.
Yeah.
He's just like a country club
Republican golfer.
I thought you were saying Alice Cooper and Smokey Robinson performed together.
No.
And I thought, well, that would be.
Yeah.
I would pay to see that.
That would be a real
album.
Miracle.
I would really pay to see that.
That would be a miracle.
All right. Any other highlights?
I haven't named all 25 yet.
Close.
You don't have to name them all. I want to save some. If people read all about it, Post-Gazette search Scott Mervis.
Read all about it and don't count them at the moment. Because I'm going to have to take something off.
We're all going to the Journey show, right? We got to go, right?
I got us tickets.
Are you going to the Journey show?
I'm going to go.
You'll get there in time for Billy Idol, of course.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the few shows that Billy Idol's playing on the Journey tour.
There's a rebel, yeah.
I'll get us tickets.
It's been over 20 years since he's been here.
Wow.
Why?
All right.
Billy
doesn't
Idol?
Doesn't he like us?
I don't think he's toured a whole lot. But do you remember when the Who came and did Quadrophenia?
Okay.
And he was in Quadrophenia. He was on that tour with him. He played one of the characters.
Okay.
Billy Idol did. So he came out.
But he hasn't come out like a solo act like this forever. Here.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Many
one
years.
More.
One more.
Pick one.
I will pick one more.
A show you cannot miss. Scott Mervis.
I don't know. Reba McEntire is a show you can't miss.
Oh, no, seriously.
I've never seen her.
I saw her and Kelly Clarkson perform together several years ago. And it was phenomenal. It was a great show.
Do you want to review that for the Post-Gazette?
Sure, I will. Absolutely, yeah. Well, and she's from Oklahoma, where I lived for a while as well, and just became kind of a fan of hers. And, okay. Oh, she's really great.
She's talented. She's a bona fide superstar of country music.
Mm-hmm. Legend.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yes. She created country music.
No, there was another one.
I'm giving Johnny Cash that one.
Loretta Lynn.
How many people are called the queen of country music?
Not every year. 17. Maybe Dolly Parton occasionally, too. Yeah.
I met Dolly Parton. Dottie West when I started my professional radio career in country.
You are aging yourself there.
I like it. Yeah,
well, Dottie West.
What station was that?
She rubbed her hand on my cheek. She said, "How you doing, young man?" I'm like, "Dottie."
Something about that Southern voice.
How long were you a country DJ?
Oh, yeah.
How long?
I started my professional career, Y108. I can tell you when it ended, too. I was walking across the then 6th Street Bridge, which is now the Roberto Clemente Bridge, from the parking lot. We were in the Renaissance Building, which is the Fulton Building, 11th floor, studio view of the river. Wasn't as pretty as it is now. It was February, wind chill, about 20 below. They were still making vinegar at the Heinz plant, and it was stinging my nose coming across. And I started my shift with a song from Larry Gatlin, "I've Done Enough Dying Today." And I told my boss, "I'm giving you my 2 weeks," and I moved to Florida.
Really?
Because it was so cold that day.
I just
you
had
just
enough
decided on the way across the
depression.
Bridge.
Of country.
Yeah, I thought, yeah.
You know,
a lot of sadness.
I've done
there.
Enough dying today. That's how you start
yeah,
your day.
A lot
I got a tear in
there.
My beer.
Did your promo picture, did you? I just pictured, do you have like Billy Ray Cyrus look or your promo picture?
With the mullet?
Yeah, what was your country look? Did you have that look?
No, but I did have a stash then.
How long ago was that?
I'm sorry, we've run out of time. 163 years ago.
You worked the stash. You worked the mustache.
Year when you could just quit a job, right?
I said, I'm moving to Florida. He goes, "What?" And I go, I got to go. And I did. I worked in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Not bad, man. It's a nice
and
place.
Yet you came back.
And that you came back.
Oh, we all come back to Pittsburgh.
20 degrees.
A subject for another podcast. Scott Mervis.
Let's do that one now.
Read all about it. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Look for him in the mosh pit
at the Reba McEntire concert.
Yes.
Well, you look like you fit in. I will be critiquing that one. You got the hoodie.
Please do.
All right. Thanks, Scott, for hanging
Scott.
Out with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Sheila.
Thanks, Larry.
Lawrence.
Thanks,
Jimmy.
Jim.
Happy New Year.
Happy
Check
New Year.
Check us out next time. We're going to be at the Van Gogh exhibit. We're going to culturalize cool, ourselves.
You know, culture.
And I want to thank Jim Patulski, our producer here. He's our technical advisor and does it all. Rick Dolnack, famous actor. Could have been Mel Gibson in a couple of films, but turned them down. That's a story for another day.
Dick Roberts is back in the mansion.
Yes, he's listening from a distance, and he approves everything we did.
Yeah.
And thanks again to Guys 23rd and Vine. Here in East Carson Street, Southside. Scott, I'll see you at the show. Larry Richard, Unfiltered, with Jim Crenn and Sheila Hyland. Download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY, or go to kdkradio.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in.
we host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.